Welcome you this evening to the live stream of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. This is what we have been doing for a few weeks now. We pray and ask the Lord that He might enable us to assemble and meet together, be together, and we pray toward that end. We might worship Him publicly and worship Him corporately as the people of God. We're thankful for His mercies to us in these days. We've been reasonably free of sickness and things of that nature, and we just give Him all the glory and praise for it all. We pray for everyone that He and His good providence has brought to listen to these messages and participate in these services. We thank Him for it. Our Father, we pray this evening that You would help us, that You would enable us to worship You in spirit and in truth, that You would enable the one who speaks Your word and enable the ones who hear Your word. Give that hearing ear and that seeing eye of faith that we might behold the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings in His glory, and know Him and behold Him as the only Savior of sinners, the only one who is righteousness itself, salvation itself, and the one to whom all the glory must go for time and eternity. We thank You for Him, and we pray for all Your people and ask it in His name. Amen. If you would turn to the epistle of 1 Peter tonight, 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Now there is no doubt that this, like all the Bible, is addressed to the children of God. They are, as Peter says, strangers. Strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This earth is not their hope, their home, or their eternal abiding place. They are also, as we read here in these verses, those who are truly blessed of God. They are those who have been born of His Spirit, begotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their heirs. As it shows in verse 4. And they're those who are kept by the power of God. And they will be saved. They are preserved by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be, as they are, saved by His grace. But they are also called something else here. They are believers, but they are also called in verse 2, the elect of God. They are chosen of God. Salvation is by His choice, not by man's choice. And thus they are called the elect of God. They're this remnant according to the election of grace. But if you notice here, it says also that they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We find out about foreknowledge only in the Bible. We'll know what it is only by what God says it is, not from what man says that it is. And a word in Scripture such as foreknowledge is to be interpreted by all the words of Scripture. And if you notice here, it is elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God the Father. And we need to throw away all of our religious preconceived ideas when we deal with these important words. Words mean something, and they especially mean something in Scripture. They mean what God means for them to mean. And this is the foreknowledge of God the Father. And yet it is a common and a convenient practice among religious people to define, when dealing with these words like foreknowledge, they define foreknowledge as God simply knowing beforehand who would do this or that and basing His actions upon that seeing what they would first do. Basing His actions on that. But that would simply mean that salvation is by human works or human will or human merit, and we know in the Bible that that absolutely cannot be true. And though this is a generally accepted way, it's wrong in so many ways, not only because it makes salvation dependent on man, salvation by the works of man, but it denies its usage elsewhere in the Bible, meaning something else. Now you can mark this down and count it to be true, and all you have to do is open this book to find out, for knowledge is not foreseen faith. God did not choose His people based on seeing that they would believe or based on their choice. For knowledge with God is not foreseen faith, neither is it foreseen repentance. One old writer said it like this, and this applies to a lot. He says, election does not find men in Christ, it puts them there. And they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Because it works this way, must necessarily be this way. Nothing in time can be the cause of what God does in eternity. We were not even there. We had no say in the matter. It is by God's foreknowledge that we are, if we be so, the elect of God. And I want to show you tonight something about God's foreknowledge. What is God's foreknowledge? And I want to show you in three different ways. Number one, God's foreknowledge is the prior knowledge of God. It is the prior knowledge of God knowing all things. Because foreknowledge is a branch of God's omniscience. He knows all things. Acts 15 and verse 18 says this, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." He knows all things, and that includes all events and all actions of everybody else in the world. God knoweth all things. Nothing takes God by surprise. And that is the very heart of prophecy. As you look through this Old Testament especially and read what transpires, it says this, "And it came to pass." And it came to pass. And my dear friend, Brother Scott Richardson, used to always say to that, "And it always does." Yes, it does. Always come to pass. Because it's the will of God. And God knows men in the sense of knowing who they are, in the sense of knowing where they are, and even in the greater sense, knowing what they are. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. Self-righteous sinners, oftentimes, if they fall or if they do something that they know is wrong, they're so self-righteous, they're surprised by it. God wasn't. He knows everything about us. Nothing is based on anything He foresaw or knew about us. God knows everything about every person, and He knows especially everything about His own children, His people, long before they have done anything. He knows. He has this prior knowledge. Nothing surprises Him. John tells us in chapter 2 and verse 23, "Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." He knew who believed and who didn't believe. He knows the intents and the thoughts and the motives of all men everywhere. That's a scary thing, isn't it? He knows. I've heard people say flippantly when they were trying to defend themselves about something, they'd say, well, the Lord knows. Yes, He does. He knows exactly. He knows that it may not be the way you say it was, but He knows everything. And if men knew what they were and knew what God knows they are, there would be no problem with foreknowledge. We just come to the Scriptures and take it for what God says. He has prior knowledge. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. It's over in the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And this has to do just a tidbit, a single individual about what God knows ahead of time, how you can't furnish Him with information. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Here is Jeremiah. He offers all kinds of excuses and tells God who He is and why He can't do this and various things. But listen to what the Lord says to him in verse 5. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then the next thing Jeremiah says, but Lord, I can't speak. He's just told him that He knows everything about him. And that is the prior knowledge. That's the one aspect of the foreknowledge of God. He knew the depths of sin to which every one of us would stoop and fall and continue to do so. He knows our ungodliness. He knows our rebellion. He knows the sins that we have committed, the things that we have thought since the very first day we lived here in this world. He knew it before the world began. And my friend, or whoever you are, male or female, young or old, you may have kept a big front up before people. You may have been restrained from outward wickedness all your days, but He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your lust. He knows your angers. He knows your hatreds. He knows especially your self-righteousness. He knows. And if His foreknowledge is denied, God must be ignorant of the future. God must increase in knowledge. And certainly, He would have to have contingency plans. But He doesn't need contingency plans, because He has this foreknowledge. He has prior knowledge of all things, all people, all hearts. He knows. Now I want to give you the second thing, the second aspect of God's foreknowledge. And that is not only prior knowledge by God, it's prior love in God. Prior love in God. Chiefly, foreknowledge means the everlasting love of God the Father for His own elect. He didn't just know who they would be. He didn't just have foreknowledge. He had forelove. Not just acquaintance, but it has to do with affection and appointing. He acts in love. He has love for them. It's prior love. It's for love. Listen to these verses. Psalm 1, it says this, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Doesn't the Lord have prior knowledge of what these rebels and ungodly, wicked people will do? Doesn't he know all about them? How could he execute a fair and strict judgment against their sin if he didn't know? But it says he knows the way of the righteous. That is, he loves the way of the righteous. That's Christ. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." That means he's loved of God. If any man loves God, John said, we love God. If we love the true and living God, we love God because he first loved us. If we love God, if any man truly loves the God of the Bible, and there's no way you can apart from a work of grace in your heart, if any man loves the Father, he's also loved or known of God. How do you take this verse over in Genesis chapter 4, where we have the first emphasis of what this really means? Genesis 4 and verse 1, it says, "Adam knew his wife Eve." He knew his wife. Well, do you suppose that he knew of her or he knew her name? He had that kind of knowledge? Oh, he did that kind of knowledge, but he had also another kind of knowledge, an intimate knowledge, because it says Adam knew his wife and she bore a son. He was involved in a loving, intimate relationship, personal relationship with his wife, the woman that God gave him. And maybe we could contrast these two verses. One in verse 8, one in Romans 8 in verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." He foreknew them. That's this foreknowledge again. But listen to this verse in Matthew 7, verse 23. He says to some on that day, that dread day of judgment, "Depart from me," he says, "and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now think about this. They claimed to have preached in his name. They've called him Lord, Lord. Read Matthew 7. They cast out devils in his name. They've done many wonderful works in his name. Does Christ reward them for those works? Does he honor them, recognize them as his people? He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never loved you. I never looked upon you before the world began in love. All these things that you have done in my name, all these things upon which you build your hope and standing this day to stand before me, it's just simply iniquity. I never knew you." You see, foreknowledge is God's eternal and unchanging love for His people as He views them in Christ, having chosen them in Christ. This foreknowledge is for love. For love. And when Paul was thinking about all the Jews that had rejected Christ, how the gospel was not having any effect on them for the most part, how it didn't come to their ears as good news, his own people by nature and birth. Somebody said, well, that makes God a failure. Paul said, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. He says in Romans 11, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Didn't He know about those Jews? Sure He did. Didn't He know what they were going to do? Sure He did. But He didn't forelove them with this everlasting love. Foreknowledge is prior knowledge, for sure. God knows all things, but foreknowledge is for love. God loves His people in Christ, and it never changes. Number three, foreknowledge is not only prior knowledge in God of all things, it's not only for love, God loving from eternity of people in Christ, but it's also prior action by God. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, if you look down here in the 20th verse of this same chapter, it says this concerning Christ as the Lamb of God, the Savior of His people, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Foreordained. God in action. But guess what? It's the same word in the original as foreknowledge in verse 2. Foreordained. Foreknowledge is foreordination with God. And God is the only one who can have this attribute in the strict sense from old eternity. Before we were on the face of this earth, before we breathed the breath, before we did everything, before the fall, God acted. He acted especially in regard to His Son and His cross death. You see, whenever Peter was speaking there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, talking about Christ, he says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You say, well, God knew that they were going to do that to His Son. No. It says, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, they took Him and slew Him by their wicked hands because God ordained it. All of His glory depended on it. All of the purpose of grace in Christ Jesus depended on it. The death of Jesus Christ, as He hangs there on the cross, there never was a time in this world that God was any more in full and total control in the person of Jesus Christ than right then. It says, He yielded up the ghost. He had to. Because he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. They couldn't stick enough spears in him, drive enough nails in him, crown him with enough crowns of thorns. To make him die. But he yielded up the ghost. He died a voluntary, substitutionary death for his people. Because God had ordained that as the one way that their sins could be put away. Foreknowledge is a voluntary, deliberate, an eternal act of God in grace. It's past tense. Somebody said, well, God couldn't do that. No, no, no. It says he's already done it. It's too late for you to complain. He knows all things that shall come to pass because he has sovereignly predestinated and controls all things. Just like this pandemic. Listen, in Isaiah 6, we have the clearest evidence that God can use whatever he will to accomplish his purpose in the world. It says in Isaiah 46:11, calling a ravenous bird from the east. That can mean a man. That can mean a virus from the east. Ravenous, hungry, eats everything in sight. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. God is in action. Foreknowledge is God in foreordination and action. His knowledge, his affection, his actions are joined together in foreknowledge. Just like when Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bare a son. His words in Amos to Israel, he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And then I love this verse in John 10. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I know them beforehand. I know him in affectionate, eternal, everlasting love. And I know them in the sense of foreordination. I've purposed and ordained all things in Christ for their good and their eternal salvation. I know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life with the sheep. So don't try to define foreknowledge by which God's people are elect or chosen. Don't try to make that, you lying preachers, don't try to make that foreseen faith. Or just God had prior knowledge of these things. God in his foreknowledge is for loving and foreordaining. How did Peter come to call these people this? He writes them, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. How did he come to know that? By their evident profession of faith in the true Christ. Christ said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, and let me tell you, foreknowledge is one of his words. He said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, you can't separate and have a Jesus apart from his words, like foreknowledge or foreordination or election or predestination or whatever it is. But he said, whoever's ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of before my Father and all the holy angels. They were set apart by the Spirit of God. Read it here in verse 2, 3, and 4. Set apart by the Spirit of God and brought to obedience. To obey what? The gospel. The truth. And his application of his blood, the effects of his death to their heart. You see, foreknowledge is always joined to the choice of the Father, the death of the Son, and the calling of the Holy Spirit. It has to do with love of God. In Christ, love before time, love without merit, love without change. And everybody who enters into God's heaven, everybody whose sins are pardoned and forgiven, put away, everyone cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, everyone who truly believes and has hope in him and what he actually accomplished on the when he came into this world and hung on that cross of satisfying divine justice, bringing in this everlasting righteousness that Daniel talked about. All them are his elect. And they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Not the foreknowledge of Reverend so-and-so. Not the foreknowledge of Professor so-and-so or Doctor so-and-so or Commentator so-and-so. They're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge being prior knowledge of everything for sure. But being also for love, having loved his people in Christ before the world began, and for ordination, he moved in action. He foreordained not only the end, which is their salvation, but all the means. He's the Alpha and Omega of salvation. And if we be believers, true believers, we won't find a more wonderful word probably than foreknowledge. It has these three, and I'm sure many more different facets to it. It's like a stone, a gemstone that the jeweler has faceted and made to shine out something else about its brilliance and glory. Our Father, tonight we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you have made him to be to his people. We thank you that we are elect according not our works or our faith or anything that was foreseen in us or done by us. Yea, just the contrary of that. And when we think about what God knew from old eternity about us, what he knows right now in our hearts and minds, what our propensity and our tendency to sin is. If we haven't done it, it's because we didn't have the chance or God's restraining grace kept us from it. We'll thank him for his foreknowledge, for being a part of his election of grace, for his grace and mercy to us. Lord, we pray that you would call out your people and show them the great things of your word. For Jesus' sake, we ask it in his name. Amen.